feel I got to catch back up because we had something last week that kept us from coming together in here. Something called like the resurrection. That's something good to celebrate, isn't it? But you know, I think my neighbor told me, you know, about every day should be like that. We should be celebrating the resurrection every single day because that is the power of the gospel. Not just he went to the grave. You know, we had the cross, and we celebrate the cross. We carry the cross everywhere. I got one on my neck, you know. But we should be carrying the resurrection inside of us. Let's just jump right off into it, you know, because, I mean, be led by the Spirit of God. One good thing about the resurrection, what it is, the Lord touched me when we talking about, was it Gaius? And he was the one of the Roman soldiers. And his daughter or his servant was sick. He just said, say the word, Lord, and it'll happen. And then what did the Lord say about him? That's right. Isn't that crazy? And this is coming from a Roman soldier. And Jesus told everybody standing there, he's like, in all of Israel, there's not as much faith as this. For this, here's the thing. Go ahead, Lee. Thank you, brother. That's exactly where I was going.
Sorry about that, bro.
No, I mean, I'm glad you got understanding too. I'm not by myself. That's what I was talking to my kids this morning, you know. I feel like I'm all alone here. Nobody cares about going to church this morning. Nobody thinks they got any more responsibilities if I just, you know, get some clothes on. Oh, yeah. We just run in our panties all day. That's like a child, you know, but and that's what the Lord was saying. This man has understanding. He understands that by this happens. And if I do this happens. And whoever's in charge or the one has an authority over, when you speak, it's about like E.F. Hutton, right? People listen. They do it. But why do they do it? And here's the same reason. When I say yes to Christ, what else is there? Is that it? Again, that's just like saying, well, here's the cross. Well, what about the empty tomb? We can't stop at the cross. We can't stop just by simply saying, I got salvation. I'm saved. Then you lead these other religiosity, dogma, and all the stuff starts coming involved that we always need to be saved. And then these religious things come in and say, well, you believe in once saved, always saved? Because that's not true. What do you mean that's not true? I've never seen one person that's been born become unborn. Tell me, do y'all know anybody in history that's been born that became unborn? It doesn't happen that way. Just because they're not walking this earth anymore, it doesn't mean that they unborn themselves. Once you're born, you're born. But here's the deal. If we stop at the cross, do we know and do we have understanding of what being fulfilled and what this life is all about. His life is all about. Because if I'm not mistaken, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Well, man, you know, guys, you take your lumps, you take your bruises, because this life is hard. That's someone without understanding. Might as well be Jesus standing up there again. All Israel, I got this infidel over here telling me and having an understanding of what faith really looks like. Well, how it functions. But yet here's the body of Christ functioning in all these things that sound good, look good. Man, look at us right now. We're all together now. But do we even understand what the fulfillment of the life in us is all about? Jesus said, be ye perfect. I use King James today because it just sounds good, you know. For your Father in heaven is perfect. But what we think is perfect is what? No blemishes. We got everything perfectly worked out. We don't have any bumps in the road. Life's not hard when we're perfect. Again, who and what is life? If life is Christ, life is perfect. But it's not perfect because I can score 100. It's not on the grade scale. Life is perfect because he's full grown. He's mature. He has understanding. He bears fruit. He is fulfilled. We have to be fulfilled. We need to be mature. We need to be teleos. We need to be perfect. We need to be mature as our Father in heaven. Now, who is our Father in heaven? God is a spirit. And we can't say just a spirit, but he's not just a spirit. He is the spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to, I had to check to make sure.
Yeah.
The just and the unjust, that you be perfect is the love. For he sends rain on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where people get off on, like, perfect. But that's what he does in us. It's like just some old rag coming in, just as much as the clown with the big car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's perfect.
It is perfect.
But that's mature.
Yes.
That's understanding the love of God. Jesus didn't say love as you love. He said love as I loved you.
Yes, and I just called somebody a clown. So.
Well, we all can be clowns, bozos, you know.
Mm-hmm. Lacking anything. He was full of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea, it kind of go along with what you're saying, is that perfect, when Jesus comes into our lives, those places that were lacking, the places that were incomplete, the sinful parts of us, he fills all that up with himself.
Mm-hmm.
He fills up all that emptiness.
He does.
His life, and we become perfect in that sense.
It is, but here's the complete in him. Is he completely in you?
Good question.
So that's the thing. God is spirit. Everything in this world is controlled and operated by spirits. Period. We think we have, see the sin and the things, why aren't we fulfilled? Because the word says those who are led by my spirit are the sons of God. Now, other spirits are we led by, that's what's going to lead us into these things which make us feel incomplete. Because that is incomplete, because there is no completion in an unclean spirit cannot be clean. That's the depth of what we really need to get into, the understanding and issues of who we are, what we are. We're simply a coffee cup if we got coffee in us. We pour it out and put some water in it. Is it a coffee cup anymore? You can label it and still call it a coffee cup, but is it really a coffee cup? No, it's a water cup. So the vessel is simply what's inside of it determines the label, the name of what it is. True.
You are not, and therefore you're not satisfied as a coffee cup because you have water in you and not coffee. You'll not fulfill because what's in it is not fulfilling the purpose of what it was created for.
True. 2 Corinthians 5, basically. And if y'all not familiar, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about the tent, the vessel. That what you're doing, you're inside, you're doing what? You're always tore up. You're always murmuring. You're always complaining and just feeling like you don't belong. There's always chaos or whatever going on. There's turmoil inside of you because you're not closed by the tent that you are supposed to be covered in. So you're always tore up. But if once we are, he said, but once you come out of here and you are clothed in the complete tent or the cover of God that what we're going to be, my goodness, our exact prince purpose will be completely fulfilled once I move out of here. But Jesus says, I want you to pray this, that your kingdom will come and your will be done in this earth. And Paul touches on that again in 2 Corinthians 4 before you get into 2 Corinthians 5. And it talks about all things that what are seen are temporary, but all things not seen are eternal. And that right before that, you are simply a what? A cup of clay that attains and holds the glory and the power of God, not for you, but for his name to be glorified. So if we're working and understanding and the things and we stop right at the cross, my goodness, how is he going to be glorified? Because in John 6, it tells us that he says, this is the will of him who sent me for them to see the Son and believe unto eternal life. Is the Son still walking today? You are the Son if you are led by the Spirit of God. Well, what spirit are you being led by? What spirit are you making decisions with? So here's the whole point of this. I'm going to say yes, but the thing is, I say yes to Christ, but if I'm not real, how can I be fulfilled? How can I fulfill the purpose, what I've been perfectly created to and for? Because see, this is the other side. How can something perfect create anything imperfect? Ponder on it. Did God mess up when he made us? I can't look at my children because we had a long conversation. We didn't even listen to any music this morning on the way to church because They had a lecture. Same thing with the Father, man. When you know, when we get digging over there, they say, well, repentance in the old, in the Hebraic is what? It's a deep sigh. What did Jesus do when the disciples? We're going to die here, and you're just going to sleep over there. And we're, come on, we're not going to get, you don't see this door? How can he lay over there and put his head on a little pillow and just sleep like nothing's going to happen? You foolish children. How long must I put up with this? Why don't you understand that I said we're going to the other side? We're going to make it to the other side. I don't care what you're going to look at, what's going to happen, what's going to try to knock you off course. That's not what I said. And that leads me to the end of it. One of the final words he said, it is finished. He fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled so we can rest in that. Why does he say in Matthew 11:28? He says, listen, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, come unto me and you'll have rest. Why are you still searching? That one song by 10th Avenue North, I love it, man, I love it. He says, why are you searching? Is I am not enough? Come on. He said, don't you know what I did for you on that night? I drank the world's sin so I can carry you in. Man. But yet, just like what I was talking to my kids this morning, it's all about me. My concerns aren't for other people. That's childlike, right? That's what being a child looks like. And what I'm trying to tell them, listen, you have a bedroom. That's what you have. You can say, that's my bed, that's my bedroom. Well, as I told them, I said, you know, when much is given, much is expected. I said, but I'm not going to get there. Let's just cut here. Well, much is given. What does that mean to you? What does that mean, much is given? Don't think about anything else. Just what is much is given? Have you been given much? Because here's the first step of starting to learn to understand how good and how great our Father is. How good and how great our Lord and Savior is. If he's not giving you anything, my goodness, you're going to walk around with an entitled spirit. And that's what got him blasted out, right? An entitled spirit. What's running through the world right now? Come on, Jim. We ain't down by the creek washing our clothes no more, are we? We got these fancy washer and dryers. Man, we got running water in our house. My goodness, I can flip a switch and the light comes on. I don't have to walk anywhere to go get some clean water. I can just turn it right on. And guess what? It's even warm. Feels good to my touch. We could probably just stop right there, right? Because does that not crack a heart?
Well,
because we're on self, Sister Vicky. Our mind, it's like childlike stuff. We got to have childlike faith, right? Childlike faith, that's what I ask the kids. What's the one thing that I ask you every morning after I wake your little beautiful little tails up? What you want for breakfast? Go ahead.
God bless you with the wife that cooks for you, washes for you, takes care of your home, your children. Why aren't you satisfied? Why do we look for more? Why do we think there's more? If it's not your wife,
We can be that way. Me too.
Me too.
But that's my point, Vicki. That's my point. We've been smothered with abundance of comforts. And we are entitled. We get angry at things just not the way we want it to be. And we're not satisfied. Bam. And I think that's what I said. It all started what? If we don't understand what he's done for us, then how can we go and mature any further? We're not. Because we're just going to sit there and think that something's got to be performed for us to move anymore. So am I being real? Well, here's the cognitive thing about it, that what is real? What is fake? And if we go back to 2 Corinthians 4, what is seen is not real. It's what's not seen that's eternal. That's what's real. The things that you can't even touch. Because what he's saying, we live in a spiritual world, an atmosphere, but we function in a natural one, and we expect the supernatural to implode on the natural and give us the things like a genie in a bottle and the comforts of these things. But when we overlook this stuff and we go keep going more and more, it's because we can't be satisfied. But when you go back and you say, the Syrophoenician woman, this is, whoa, my child is sick. My goodness, y'all were sitting here breaking bread and y'all were having a wonderful time up in this place. But I've got a sick daughter that's dying and I need help. And the Lord said, oh, it was for me to give the food for what's meant for my children to the dogs. Lord God, yes. Whatever you got for the dogs is going to be sufficient for me, because the scraps of the table is all it is. Come on, that's all I need. That's what I told my daughter. I said, what did I tell you when I wake you up? What you want for breakfast, baby? What you want for lunch today? I had to leave this morning because I'm doing all this other stuff to go, and nobody realized, hey, daddy's got to be at church. My husband needs to be there. We got to be there at 9:30. I got a responsibility to be there on time. Here's my dog out there. Sorry, Liberty. I can't feed you now because I know it's your time, but I don't have time to go feed you. I got to go straight to church now. She needs 3 scoops of food a day. That's just one animal. I said, babies, I went and played golf yesterday, okay? Don't get on to me. I really feel bad about it. Especially when I don't hit them well. But, I mean, goodness, my goodness, when you don't hit them but once or twice every 1 or 2 years, it's not like when you was a child, you get to play 2 or 3 times a week with no cares. When much is given, much is expected. So I come home last night. Wife, are you going to spend the night out there? Are you going to come home? I said, well, I'm trying to get home now. But then when I got home, it's like, well, when are you going to come home? I said, well, honey, I got chickens to feed. I got eggs to clean. I got dogs to feed. I got cats in here just taking over my shop that my girls didn't even feed today, obviously. And so, like I told them, I said, you know, how many times do you feed Liberty? She needs 3 scoops a day. How many scoops a week do you ever give Liberty? Jody Ann's like, well, 4. Okay. You give her 4 scoops a week. And granted, those scoops are probably unnecessary because I've already fed her. But that's beside the point. I don't want to beat them down too much. You know what I mean? So let's just put that in perspective. What's 4? What's, just say 3, because she needs 3 scoops a day. What's 3 times 7? 21, praise God. My little girl said, 21. All right, girl, we're getting there. Slow steps. So that's 21 scoops a week. You gave her 4. I said, is that even half? No. Okay? So you're talking 25%? So you're saying you fed her one day, basically, a week. How about you? Could you live on one meal a week? Or one day a week of feeding? Well, I don't know. I said, you know what's going to happen one day? If that is our consistency, and that's what we're going to do and how we're going to respond to the goodness of God in our lives, come on. We're going to walk outside one day. Liberty, come here, girl. Liberty. Daddy, I can't find Liberty. She's not coming. She's going to be laid up in the pines, bellied up, because she cannot live on one feeding a week. Come on. Girls are like, wow. We can sell the farm and we can buy a little house, have an acre of land. Because I'm telling you, you can go by these little houses like that, and some of them's got some pristine lawns. I get it. I used to live in a subdivision. And my stepdad was out there every Saturday morning with that push mower, making them lines in there, man. Used to get on us for bringing the neighborhood in to play on his lawn, killed a man with the ball. Oh, don't y'all play on my, play in the street. The street. Where were you tagging up? Because my goodness, I wasn't no tag player. We tackling. Make you tough. But the point is, if we got this little bit, it's a lot easier to manage and take care of that, right? We can make it look good. But the fact of it is, God didn't give you just a little bit, brother. He gave you everything that'll make you complete. All of it. There is no excuses in the kingdom of God anymore because it is fulfilled. And if we don't make the mature teleos fulfillment of our lives, it's not his fault. I'm not talking about works to achieve anything. I'm talking about taking care and being a steward and fulfilling the things that he has blessed you with. I was in 27 Proverbs this morning, and I got it labeled right here, Living Water Farm, right here. Knowing the states of your herd and your animals, all of them, taking care of the things that he's given you. For he says that the sheep will give you the clothing, and the goats will feed your daughters, and the milk will fulfill the whole household. But if I'm not taking care of the things he's given me, I'm going to starve to death. My family's going to starve to death. These things are on us. These things are in us. And he's given us these things so that we can be real. The Proverbs also talks about the man who travels, fantasizes, that his house is going to be broken down, the walls will fall down, and the grass, the weeds and stuff will overcome all these things. And I thought to myself, a little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty shall come upon you. As the man who travels, or a man who's not fixed and rooted in the place that where he's supposed to prosper. He's always fantasizing about over here, and let's go over here, and all these things, but there's no responsibilities being taken care of. He's free, 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 but my goodness, he's bound, 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 because he has no understanding how the kingdom of God functions. This is what I'm talking about, and I know we're about done. I've been blessed to have another week. I think I've been blessed enough to have a Wednesday night that I'm going to try to kick in here too. Let's go to Genesis 12 right fast. Because I can't help it. I got to run off of my life, you know, the things that's real to me. And I like to impose those things or interject those things because I believe that's what's real. If it's not real to me, it's not going to be real to you. And that's why I'm talking about saying yes and being real so that you will what? Be in position to fulfill the things of God in your life. Because if I'm not being real, my position is probably going to be off. I'm not going to be in position to receive the things of God. And therefore, there's other things I'm about to get into that the position that I have might not make it where I might be in position, but I might not be real. I didn't have the things that I was supposed to have when I got in position. What does that sound like? The unwise or the wise virgins? Were they in position? Yes, but they didn't have what they needed. So they had to try to go buy it. Well, you can't buy this. It was on your way to where you were supposed to be in position that you were supposed to collect all the coins so you can cross the finish line. Like in a video game. You missed something. I finished it like Mario, bro. Huh? I'm finished, but let me go back and hit this box one more time and get that mushroom. Because I can't finish till I go get that. I'm in position, but I don't have what I need to be there. Therefore, I cannot inherit what I'm supposed to inherit. I cannot be entrusted with what I want to give you. So Genesis 12, it goes back into who? Abraham. Abram at this point. And this is God's calling on Abram's life. And so I put my glasses on for this if somebody want to read it for me. Yeah, that's what happens, too. If you don't take care of your stuff, you got to wear glasses, too. I don't have anything to do with that, I don't think. Maybe I didn't eat enough carrots. I went to the eye doctor, though. He said, oh, you're pretty good. I don't think you need glasses to drive. I said, well, praise God. When I was 15, I had to have glasses to drive. I couldn't see the words. They had letters in there. That lady looked at my dad. She's like, your son can't see. I didn't know. He's got to have glasses. So I was 15. I went and got glasses. Boom, got my license. Back then, you can get your license at 15. I drove. I didn't have to get them again until I was 20. Well, in between then, I started welding. Burnt my eyes several times. Rolled up to get my license that time. I was like, I forgot my glasses. I said, I'm sorry. I got in here. I don't have my glasses. She said, well, honey, just try it. WXETV, whatever. Well, you're good to go. I said, I guess all that welding helped after all. She said, I don't know if it's a welding or not. Something touched my eyes. Hallelujah. So now I still see 20/20, but I have my exam. And I said, well, cover your right eye. I said, uh-oh. I couldn't see it out my left eye. But when my right eye come in, I could see it all together. So that leads to another sermon about the single eye. That's for maybe Wednesday night. I don't know. So here's Abram when he says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a what? Blessing. I will bless them who bless you and curse him who curses you, and you and in you all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, this isn't talking about Israel right here. Blessing him who blesses you. He's talking about Abram. But he's really not just talking about Abram, because Abram got the fulfillment of what God called him. But what he's telling us right here, if you are obedient, if you will go, if you will say yes to me, that's the Lord right now to us and every one of us. If you say yes to me and you can walk this thing out in obedience, if you go, you will be blessed and you will be able to bless others. What he's saying right here is that you will be a tree of life. And whoever comes will have fruit to eat. And they'll be blessed because they will be famished. They will be in need of something to eat. They will be in need of nutrition. Will you be able to give them what they need? Now, did Abraham get it all right? If you keep on reading down, when he walked on into Egypt, he lied to a guy because he was scared. He lied to the king because he said his wife was pretty. And he said, if they see you, they're going to want to kill me so they can take you from me. So let's just say we're brothers and sisters, which they will may have favor on me. Did he do the right thing? No. Was he punished by God for doing the wrong thing here? No, he wasn't. Did he learn his lesson? He did. He did learn his lesson because he realized that this king would have had favor on him already, but God moved on that king and not on Abram. He brought destruction and hurt on those people and not on Abram because Abram was just scared. So here's the same thing with us. It's not that he's going to come to beat you. He's not out to whoop you. I'm telling you right now, through your actions, you will reap what you sow. It's not that God's got a vendetta that he's going to have to stripe your legs because you did something wrong. My goodness, if you're moving in his spirit, that's okay. You will stumble and fall. But never fail to follow. There will be things, but if you keep your focus on him, hey, other people are going to feel the Spirit of God upon you, even if you're whatever condition you're in. Does that mean you're going to do it? No, Paul says, my goodness, when sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So that by, do I need to go keep sinning? No, by all means, no. Don't go do it because you think this is going to happen. That's what he says. When something happens to people upon you, don't celebrate when you see things coming upon other people. Because I'll lift that hand off of there and it could come back to you then because you are in the wrong spirit. Was the fulfillment of God still on Abram's life? It did. Did he mess up? Yes. Did it all work out? Yes. Why did it all work out? Because he stayed the course. He continued to go. He continued to strive to do the right thing. And ladies and gentlemen, today, brothers and sisters, this is what grace looks like. There is grace upon our lives. Grace isn't so you can just do whatever you want to and prosper. Grace is because you're striving to do the best that you can. And my goodness, I still can't get it right. So he said, well, this grace is upon your life. I've already done it. It is finished, my beautiful child. Why don't you just praise me and be grateful for what's already done for you? And my goodness, you'll start seeing the goodness of God in everything that you do. We're going to get in to these words and these things that come into us. And I think it's in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and 37, I think it is, yeah. Where Jesus is telling us, he says, listen, all these things are going to happen. He said, but simply do this. Just let your yes be yes. And your no's be no. Keeping it simple. Just let your yes be yes and your no's be no. Don't try to get involved in all these things and try to figure all this stuff out because then you're crossing your authority level and you're trying to see too much. Just say yes or no. And let it be. And it will be. But you got to be real with that yes and no. Don't say yes when you really mean no. Don't say no when you really want to go. Go. Because he says, as you go, you will be blessed. What did Jesus say over in Matthew 28? As you go, all power and authority has been given unto me. And I tell you to go out here and do this. And as you go, I will be with you. I like to say, if you don't go, you can't grow. But if you go, you're going to grow. And my goodness, you're going to glow. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your love and life. Thank you for doing everything that we could possibly imagine for, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to be, we want to be content, because Lord, in your word, Paul says with contentment and godliness, it's a great gain. We will be fulfilled if we can just be thankful and be grateful. With that seed of gratefulness, Lord God, your kingdom is going to grow and it will be fulfilled in our lives and around us, Lord. Let us just be thankful. Let us be grateful for this time that we have, Lord. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. But Lord, I know that's all upon us. Because your yes was yes, and your no's are no, and there's no in between. And I thank you for being that affirmative father, that loving father, that guiding father, the one that we wished we have, but yet we know that we still do and will always will. Because, Lord God, you said it's expedient for you to go. For unless you don't go, the helper, the Spirit of God, can't come back. And when he does come back, and Lord God, you have come back, and you said you're going to be in me and be with me forever. There's no separation. Once you come inside of us, Lord God, we have you, we are one. And I praise you for that today. Let us walk in that, and let us be grateful and thankful and be accountable, Lord God, to be able to serve and take other people in consideration of the things that we do. We love you and we praise you, Lord God. I do. In Jesus' name. Amen.